Okay, great. So we are learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and we're in Perek Chaf Hei. Perek Chaf Hei of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, and we got up to Pasuk Yud Dalet. So if you remember the beginning of the Perek, essentially what happens is that David comes with his men. He's traveling, of course, as we know, he's running away from Shaul, and he comes to, he needs food. He needs food for his men, he needs provisions. He's got a lot of soldiers. 600 to be exact, and he comes to a fellow by the name of Naval. Naval is a very wealthy guy. He's got a lot of property, and not only that, but David's men have helped Naval and his soldiers. They helped them with the sheep. They made sure that nobody attacked them and nobody stole any sheep. So in a sense, they almost, Naval owes David a little bit. And he asks David for some food. And David asks Naval for some food. And Naval basically says, sorry, nothing doing. I need to support my men. And I cannot give you any food. I can't give you anything. Okay? So David, at the end of last week, David basically said to his men, that's it. Everybody get your swords, get your weapons. And we're going to go kill Naval. And we're going to kill Naval. And we're going to take revenge for what he did. Okay, so let's see Pasuk Yudal. Says the Navi in Pasuk Yudal, "Vel Abigail Eishes Naval, Higid Naar Echad Mehaneorim Leimor." So one of the men comes to Abigail. Abigail is the wife of Naval, and one of the young men comes to Abigail, the wife of Naval, and he tells her essentially what just happened. He tells her the exchange that Naval had with the shluchim, with the messengers of David. Hinei shalach David malachim mehamidbar levarech es Adonenu. David sent messengers from the desert to bless our master, meaning to bless your husband Naval. Vayot bahem, and Naval chased them away. He yelled at them. Right, the Radak says he sent the messengers levarech to say good things, to say shalom aleichem. You know, this was nothing bad. This was only positive. And vayot bohem, he yelled at them, he screamed at them, he scolded them, he chased them away. You know, he should have, says the Malbim, he should have welcomed them with kavod, with respect. Not only did he not respect them, but he disgraced them. He yelled at them and he kicked them out and he disgraced them. Okay. So pasuk tesvav. V'ho'anashim tovim lanu me'od. And not only that, says the Navi, but these people were good to us. Right? It's not like David's people. You know, David and his men were not good to us. They were very good to us. V'lo hachlamnu, they did not embarrass us. V'lo fakadnu mu'uma, they didn't take anything from us. Kol yemehi salachnu itam b'yoseinu basadeh. The entire time we were with them in the wilderness, we were with them for quite some time. And the whole time we were there, we walked with them. And they were very good to us, right? And in fact, says the Malbim, The men are saying to Abigail that really Naval was obligated. He was obligated to provide provisions to David and his men. He was obligated to show them honor. Because number one, they never insulted or stole from us. And not only that, but when the sheep were out pasture, they protected us. They protected the sheep. You might remember this from last week. They protected us. So really we owe them. Naval owes them. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Choma hayu aleinu. They acted as a wall. They acted as a wall to guard and to protect us. Gam laila, gam yomam, both at night and during the day. Kol yemei hayosenu imam roim hatzon. The entire time we were there shepherding the sheep with them, they protected us, and they made sure that nothing happened. Pasuk yudzayin. Ve'ata, and now, di'i uri'i matasi. You know, see, you know, you got to think about what you're going to do here. Ki chalasa hara'a el Adonenu, because evil has been fulfilled, has been completed, has been decreed upon your master, meaning they heard David was on his way with his weapons and his soldiers. He's going to come and he's going to take revenge against Naval. El Adonenu v'al kol beiso, v'hu ben blial midaber elov. This is an interesting phrase at the end. How do we understand this? The who ben Bliyal. So ben Bliyal essentially means a lowlife. That's what ben Bliyal means. He's a lowlife. Now the question is, who's the who? So presumably, Naval's a lowlife, right? That's Pashut Pshat. What the Pasuk is saying is that Naval is a lowlife. Midaber Elof. Now you'll see the Midaber as a chiri come to the Met. Midaber means from speaking to him, meaning that he can't be spoken to. He can't be spoken to. So Pashut Pshat in the Pasuk, this is the way Rashi understands it, is that your husband Naval is a lowlife, and therefore there's no talking to him. He's going to get angry at us. If we raise this issue with him, he's going to get angry with us. There's no talking to him. He's a lowlife. And therefore, we can't say anything to him. So we've come to you. That's the, you know, we can only come to you. We can't come to him with this. That's one interpretation. The second interpretation, which is offered by the Radak offers both. But the second interpretation that's offered by the Radak is that it's referring to David. And they were actually giving a little bit of a shot at David. The David's also a lowlife here, and he's just good. He's just bloodthirsty, and he's not a great guy. And he's, you know, he got insulted, he got mad, and he's just going to come. He's coming looking for blood. He's coming just to kill Naval. There's no talking to David. Now, that's the second interpretation. So either again, Naval is a lowlife, and there's no talking to him about this, and therefore we've come to you to see what you can do. That's interpretation number one. Interpretation number two is that David is a lowlife. And therefore, he's just bloodthirsty. He's just come looking for blood, and there's nothing we can do about it. And you know, he's going to just come kill your husband. So good luck. Okay. The Malbim also points out here that there are two reasons why David is going to take revenge, and this is maybe the double language, the iu rei. You should know, and you should see. Number one. His men were disgraced, right? David's men, these were the shluchim of David. They were the messengers of David, and they came. They should have been respected, as we said earlier, and instead they were disgraced. So that's number one. Number two, David himself was disgraced because, if you remember, Naval did not refer to David in the most respectful terms. Naval actually referred to David himself as a ben Bliyal. So because of that, it's double here that number one, David was disgraced. Number two, his men were disgraced. And therefore, for both of those reasons, David is coming, and he's coming to take revenge. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches. Abigail hears what's happening, and she realizes, okay, I got to do something. Vatemaher Abigail. Vatemaher Abigail. She hurries. Vatikach Masayim Lechem. She grabs 200 loaves of bread. 200 loaves of bread, ushnayim nivle yayin, two large flasks of wine, the chamesh tzon, and five sheep, asuyos, different interpretations. What exactly asuyos means? Either asuyos means that it's cooked very well, or asuyos means that it's stuffed. They were kind of a stuffed lamb, you know, some nice delicacy. She takes a lot of meat. The chamesh se'im kali, excuse me, and a saw is a measurement. So five measures of roasted grain, that was a treat in those days. Umeya tzimukim, 100, tzimukim means raisins. I imagine this doesn't mean 100 raisins, that's not all that much. But I guess 100 maybe clusters of raisins or 100 containers of raisins. Umasayim develim, 200 develim are fig cakes. They used to... The Mishnayos and the Gemara talk about this also. They used to press their figs into cakes. So it was like a pressed fig cake. So 200 of those, a lot of food, right? This is a lot of food. You can feed an army with this, exactly. Atosim ala chamorim, and she places them upon the donkeys, and she's ready to go. She realizes she's got to do something. She's got to intercede. Pasuk Yates, vatomer li ne'areha, and she says to her ne'arim, to her servants, Ivru lefanai, you go on up ahead of me. You go on up ahead. Hinini acharechem ba'a, I'm walking behind you. Uleisha Naval lo higida. And she did not say a word to her husband Naval. She didn't say a word to her husband Naval. She didn't want him to catch wind of this, presumably because if he heard what she was doing, he would stop her. And he would say, you know, tell David to go jump in a lake. You're not going to appease him. Don't bring him any of this food. Right? It's a waste of money. He's a nobody. and what are you doing? So she didn't tell him. And in fact, the Malbim says that that's why she told her Na'arim to go on ahead, because she realized that if they all left together, Nava might be suspicious. You know, where's this whole big entourage going? But if he sees a couple of servants running out, okay, maybe my wife sent them for something. She sent them to the grocery store. You know, and then she goes out, he's not going to really be suspicious. But if she goes out with the whole entourage, then he'll be more suspicious. Excuse me. So the Na'arim go. They go ahead. They take the food. Now, how they hid all this food from Naval, I'm not quite sure. But they take the food, and they go out, and then she follows. Pasuk Chaf. Now, here's where things get interesting. The Hayahi Rocheves ala Chabor, the Yoredes Beseser Hahar. So she's riding her donkey. She's coming down the Seser, right, in hiding. She's coming down clandestinely from the mountain. V'hinei David va'anashav yarding likrasa. So David and his servants and his men are coming down the mountain also towards her. V'atifgosho sam, and she meets them. And she meets them. So Pashup Shad here, we're talking about a valley. Right, a valley that was that had mountains on either side. So she's coming down one mountainside. David is coming down the other mountainside, and they meet up in the middle in this valley. Why does it say Beseser? Right, it was Beseser. It was clandestinely. So you could say she was hiding from her husband. That's clear in the previous pasuk. She didn't want him to know. But the Radak also says she was probably coming down in an area that was hidden from view. No, people couldn't see. And in fact, he says he's medayek in the pasuk that he thinks that really David didn't see her until the last minute, and you know, until she was already down. Normally, you would think you have two people coming down the mountains, you know, they should be able to see each other across the way, but he couldn't see her. He couldn't see her, and he saw her at the last minute, and that's why we'll see she rushes to get off the donkey to greet him. Okay. The Mitzudas David says Seser Hahar refers to the valley itself, that she was coming down the Oredes Beseser. She was coming down in the valley. Now, why is a valley called Seser Hahar? I assume because a valley is hidden by the mountains, right? If you're on the other side of the mountain, then you can't see the valley. So I assume that's why it's called Seser Hahar. the Malbim points out that if we're saying about Tifgosho Sam, that she meets up with them, then that means that David already met up with the men. Because remember, her men were ahead of her, unless you say she caught up to them. But presumably, they went ahead of her, and David met up with them first, you know, and then she's following. Now, the Gemara here, in Megillah, Daf Yud Daled, discusses this whole story of the encounter between Abigail and David in a very interesting context. The Gemara in Megillah is listing the Sheva Nevios, the seven women who were Nevios, who were prophets, prophetesses, I guess. And the Gemara says that Abigail was one of the seven prophetesses. She was a prophet. And we'll see in a moment how the Gemara proves that she was a prophet. Right now, we haven't seen any type of Nevuah yet. But the Gemara begins with this pasuk. And the Gemara says, quotes the pasuk, that she was riding on the donkey and coming down Beseser Hahar. And the Gemara asks, why does it say Beseser Hahar? The Oredes Beseser Hahar. She was coming down in the hidden part of the mountain. Says the Gemara, it should have said Min Hahar. She was coming down from the mountain. She was on the mountain, and she was coming down from the mountain. That's what it should say. So the Gemara uses a drasha to understand what's going on here in a homiletical way. And the Gemara says that Seser, which means hidden, refers to something that's hidden. And that refers to Damnida. Damnida, menstrual blood of a woman. And in this case, says the Gemara, she brought him some blood to examine, to ask a shaila, is this blood tahor? Is this blood tameh? What's the status of this blood? So now she comes to him, and that's the first thing she does. She asks him this shaila. So David says to her, one second, I can't answer this shaila at night. It was nighttime. It's not clear in the psukim that it was nighttime, but in the Gemara, it's clear that it was nighttime. I can't answer this shaila at night. in order to see the blood and to examine it, it has to be during the daytime when I can see it properly. So she says to him, you're also not allowed to judge dine nefashos, capital cases at night. So where are you going? Okay, so she brought this to make a point. He said to her, you can't examine blood at night. She said to him, you also can't judge capital cases at night, meaning you're coming to kill my husband. You're not allowed to make that judgment at night. And presumably, I guess he got the news at night and he decided at night. She says, you can't do that. It's against the halacha. So he responds to her, nope, it's okay, because I don't really have to make a judgment here. He was a Moreid B'Malchus. It's a Moreid B'Malchus. And we discussed this last week. This was one of the interpretations, right? That he rebelled against the king. I have the status of a Jewish king. Why? Even though he wasn't the king yet. But he got a Nevuah. We know that Shmuel got a Nevuah. He told him, she anointed him. He was destined to be the king. So David says, I have the status of a Jewish king. And if that's the case, he's a Moreid B'Malchus. He refused to give me provisions and my men provisions. He's Moreid B'Malchus. There's no din Torah here. We don't need to judge him. It's an automatic death penalty, automatic death sentence. So she responds to him, not so fast. Last I checked, Shaul was still the king, not you. Nobody really knows you. And in fact, we know that in Klal Yisrael, although Shevet Yehuda was very supportive of David, we know the rest of the Shvatim were not. They were still supportive of Shaul. So she's putting him in his place here. And she's saying, David, not so fast. You know, if you want to tell me that this is a court case, you can't judge it at night. And if you're telling me he's Moreid B'Malchus, you're no melech. You're not the melech yet. Shaul's the melech. Okay? So that's what the Gemara sees in the words, Vioredes v'seiser hahar. That this is the conversation that's taking place. Now we'll see more, you know, there's other interesting elements to this conversation as the psukim continue. Excuse me. Pasuk Chafalf. V'David Amar. And David says, Ach la sheker shamarti es kol asher lo zeh bamidbar. Now, different interpretations here. Some say, Rashi says that David said this, you know, to himself. He thought this to himself a couple hours ago, I guess, when his men came back from Naval, with Naval's response, he said it to himself. Some say that David said this to his men when he met Abigail, which makes a little bit more sense in the context of the order of the psukim here. And he says, Achla sheker shamarti es kol asher lozeh. He says, you know, I guarded all of Naval's stuff all this time, all of his sheep, his flocks. It was for nothing, la sheker. For nothing. I did it for nothing. Velo nifkad mikol asher lo me'uma. We never took anything of his. Va yoshev li ra'a tachas tova. And all he did was pay me evil in place of good. I did good to him, and he did evil to me. Right? What's the evil? What's the evil? So the Mefarshim say, he cursed me. How did he curse him? He disgraced him. He disrespected him. He said, who's this guy David? Calls him a Ben Belial. That's it. And in fact, the Malbim says, he saw the men, again, they were ahead of Abigail. So he saw the men with all this stuff, and he said, this guy has tons of food. He can easily feed our whole army. And that's what triggered this response now in David's mind. Pasuk Chav Beis. Ko yase Elokim lo'oyve David v'cho Yosef. So this is a language of an oath. Ko yase Elokim lo'oyve David. This is what Hashem should do to the enemies of David. Now, either the enemies of David, either it means, and the Pashup shot, enemies of David, referred literally to David's enemies, and Hashem should treat my enemies like I'm going to treat him. Right? Hashem should treat. Hashem should do to the enemies of David, and even worse, if by morning I've left anyone, even, now mashtin bakir is an interesting phrase. The simple understanding of mashtin bakir refers to mashtin, usually means to urinate, and bakir means on the wall. So some say it means even a dog. I'm not even going to leave a dog who urinates on the wall, you know, I'm not even going to leave a dog alive. That's how badly I'm going to wipe out Nabal and his men. Some say it's that Mashtin back here is referring to any male. He's just saying, I'm going to kill all the Zecharim, all of the males. Okay. Malbim says, Koyasa lukim lo evei damim b'chol Yosef. Hashem should treat my enemies like I'm going to treat Nabal. I mean, I'm going to wipe the floor with him. I'm going to decimate him. And that's how Hashem should treat my enemies. Some say that Oyvei David is actually referring to David himself. It's a kinoi. It's like a clean way of saying David. Sometimes you find this in Tanakh, in Chazal. When it's saying something negative, let's say about B'nai Yisrael, we don't want to say something negative is going to happen to B'nai Yisrael. So we say La'oyve B'nai Yisrael. So the enemies of B'nai Yisrael. It's really referring to B'nai Yisrael themselves. So some say Oyvei David is really a kinoi for David himself, and he's taking an oath that something bad should happen to me if I don't wipe out Nabal and his men. He's swearing. I swear I'm going to kill all them, and if I don't, God should punish me. That's one interpretation. Why did he use a kinoi? So number one, you know, you don't want to say anything negative about yourself. Mitzudas David also says that David was destined not to go through with this. I mean, God's going to change his mind. Right? Spoiler alert. Sorry. I spoiled the ending for you. But Abigail is going to change his mind. He's not going to kill Nabal right now. So says the Mitzudas David, because he ends up not going through with this, so that's why the Hashkacha had it, that he used the kinoi, and he didn't say that Hashem should punish me. Because had he said that, Hashem would have to punish him. So therefore he said, Lo'ovei David, even though it was a kinoi for himself, but at the same time, it got him out of the oath at the end of the day when he changed his mind. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vatera Abigail is David. So again, Abigail now sees David. Vatemaher, she rushes. And this is where the Mitzudas David gets that, you know, she didn't see him until the last minute because she was coming down this clandestine path on the mountain. So Vatemaher, she rushes. Vatera Miala Chamor, she lowers herself from the donkey. Vatipola Ape David. Al Paneha, she falls down, prostrates herself in front of David, Batishtahu Aretz, and she bows down to the ground. They bow down to the ground. The Malbim says Abigail heard all of this. She heard what David said. She knew it was David, right? Abigail and David didn't know each other before this. So how did she know who was David? She knew because she heard exactly what he said. Chafdalin vatipol al raglov, she falls upon his feet, vatomer, and she pleads with him, Bi ani adoni, please, my master, Bi ani adoni ha'ovo, the sin lies with me. Usedaber na amascha be'oznecha, please allow me to make my argument to you. Ushma es divrei amosecha, please listen and heed what I have to say. Now it's interesting. She's saying that she's at fault, right? Now we know the actual story. She was not at fault. She had no idea what was going on. She didn't know about this. She didn't know that the shluchim, that the messengers of David came to Nabal at all. So why does she say, Bi ani adoni ha'avon, that the fault lies with me? So Rashi very interestingly says that she really just said this to get his attention. In reality, she was not admitting any fault. And we'll see in a moment, she actually denies any fault. She really only said this to get his attention. And he says, oh, you know, she's admitting fault. Okay, I'll pay attention to her. And then she switches and she denies fault, which we'll see in a moment in the next pasuk. The Mitzudas David says that she wasn't really admitting fault here, but this was a way of identifying her. David didn't know her. She didn't know David, right? So she figured out who David was because she heard what he was saying. But David didn't know her. So what she's saying, Bi ani adoni ha'avon, not that the sin is with me, that I did the sin, but be in me, in my household. Meaning I'm the wife of the guy who sinned to you. I'm the wife of Nabal, the one who committed this sin. I'm his wife. So she was really just identifying herself. And the Malbim has a third interpretation, where he says, no, she really was admitting some fault here. Why? Because she says Nabal is really a nothing. He's really a lowlife. He's a nothing. The only reason he's in anything is because of me. The only reason he has any assets, the only reason he has any hatzlacha, any success in life, is because of me. And therefore, the sin does really lie with me. Buck stops here, right? I'm really the one in charge. I'm the CEO. So if he sinned, it's really my fault. So please allow me to speak and please accept what I say. And she's pleading with him. Pasuk Chav Hei. Al-na yasim adonias libo elisha b'lial hazeh. Please don't pay any attention to him. You know, he cursed you, he disgraced you, he disrespected you. Please don't pay any attention to him. He's a lowlife. Al-Nava. Ki kishmo kein hu. Exactly as his name implies, right? Navalo is like a nevela, right? That's what he is. Naval shimo u'nevala imo. His name is Naval, and he is nevela, right? He's disgusting. Va'ani amoscha lo ra'isi es nare adoni asher shalachta. And now she denies responsibility. She says, I did not see this happen, I promise. I didn't see your men arrive. I didn't see my husband talking to them. I had no idea that any of this happened. I would have stopped it. I would have interceded. I would have stepped in. But I didn't see it. Says the Metzudas David, what's she telling him here? Don't pay any attention to his curses. He cursed you. He disrespected you. He disgraced you. Don't pay any attention. Why? Because that's the way he is. He speaks harshly. He curses, right? Yeah, that's just who he is. You can't be insulted by who he is. Says the Malbim, furthermore, why he should not be insulted is because he always acts this way. He's inherently a lowlife, number one. Number two, others consider him to be a lowlife. And number three, he always acts this way. This is the way he talks to everyone. So there's no reason for you to be insulted. You know, this is just who he is. Pasuk Chavav, Ve'ata Adoni, Chai Hashem v'chei nafshecha, Asher minoacha Hashem mibo v'damin. So he says, and now, my master, Hashem has sent me to prevent you from spilling innocent blood. V'hosheya yadcha lach, I am going to save your hand from you. V'ata, and now yihyu chenaval oivecha. She gives him a bracha that all of your enemies should be like Naval. And all those who seek evil, who try to harm you, should be the same. So says Rashi, she's saying, Hashem sent me. This is Hashgacha. Hashem sent me to prevent you from spilling this innocent blood. And here Rashi says something very interesting. So I said it was a bracha. Rashi says it's not really a bracha. He says it's a nevuah beruach hakodesh. It's a nevuah beruach hakodesh. Now, we know that she was a neviyah, as I mentioned. That's what the Gemara in Megillah says. She was one of the seven neviyos. What's interesting is that the Gemara does not bring this pasuk as a proof that she was a neviyah. Even though the pasuk says, ve'ata yuch naval evecha, that your enemies will be like naval, you could understand that that's a nevuah. Your enemies will end up like Naval, right? But the Gemara doesn't quote this pasuk. I think that's perhaps maybe why Rashi uses the term Ruach HaKodesh. Rashi says she had Nevuah with Ruach HaKodesh. How come Rashi doesn't say she just had Nevuah? She was a Nevi'ah. So she had Nevuah. Because the Gemara does not identify this pasuk as real Nevuah. The Gemara is going to quote a later pasuk to prove that she has Nevuah. So since this is not the pasuk quoted by the Gemara, you see that this is not real Nevuah. This is not real Nevuah. It's Nevuah with Ruach HaKodesh. And what that means, that's a good question. But it's a lower level of Nevuah. It's divinely inspired. It's a lower level of Nevuah. Okay, now, why is this innocent blood, Mivo Bedamin, right? I don't want you to spill innocent blood. Says the Radak, like she just told him, based on the Gemara. This is based on the Gemara in Megillah. She just said, he's not a Mori B'Malchus. You're not a Melech yet. Shaul is still the Melech. You're not the Melech yet. And therefore, he's not a Mori B'Malchus, so his blood is innocent. If you kill him now, you're killing innocent blood. Okay. The Metzudas David adds here, interestingly, he says, similar to Rashi, that everything here is the Hashgacha of Hashem. Right? Hashem is enabling this. Hashem allowed, enabled me to come and intercede and prevent you from killing him. And since Hashem is preventing you from spilling his blood, what that means is that Hashem is going to fight your battles. And that's why she said at the end of the pasuk, all of your enemies and all those who seek to destroy you, they themselves will be destroyed, because obviously Hashem is on your side. Look, Hashem prevented you from spilling innocent blood. So obviously Hashem is on your side. Obviously Hashem is going to take care of it. And the Metzudah HaStavet suggests, maybe that's why in the previous pasuk, after the incident in the cave, where David and Shaul have their conversation after the cave, David says to Shaul, if you remember, Yishpot Hashem beini uveinecha, Hashem will judge between me and you. Unikamani Hashem imecha, Hashem will take revenge from you, for me. V'yadi lo siyebach. Why does David say that? My hand won't touch you. Hashem is going to take care of you. Why does David say in Perikhav Dalet that Hashem will take care of it and not him? It's based on this idea. Because she says in Perikhav Hey, you see, nobody's going to touch you. Hashem will take care of you. You see this. Hashem is with you. Okay. The Malbim adds here that there are three possible reasons why David would want to kill Naval right now. Number one, he was the Morid B'Malchus. That's possibility number one. Number two, to prevent others from following in his evil ways. You know, David doesn't want a repeat performance here. And number three, because he and his men are entitled to the food. They did help protect Naval's sheep. So now Avigal is responding to each one of these claims, says the Malbim. The Malbim always has an amazing way of reading the Pesukim. And he says that to the claim that you're a Melech, right? And he's married by Malchus. So it's no. It's Mivo B'Damim. He's innocent blood. Naval's innocent blood because you're not the Melech yet. Shaul is still the Melech. That's number one. Number two, you want to say that nobody should follow in his ways. Nobody should copy him. Right, the copycat thing. So to this, she responds, nobody's going to. That Hashem is going to stop all of everybody. So nobody's going to follow in his footsteps. All of your enemies will be taken care of by Hashem. So she's responding to him. And now in the next pasuk of Zion, and finally, according to the Malbim, the third claim, that Naval really owes you and your men because of what you did for his sheep. You protected his sheep. So now the offering that I'm bringing you, remember she sent all of that food with her men. All of that food is hereby given to your men. It's given to your men. Why doesn't she say it's given to him? Right? She only says to the men. So the Radak says, because it's not Bakovedik. It's not respectful. For her to say to him, David is a chashim, a person. To say to him that the food is to him, nah. For you, I should give even more. But this at least is for your men. Pasuk Chav Ches. Sona lefesha amasecha. Please forgive my sin. Ki aso yaaseh Hashem laduni bayis neman. Because Hashem is going to create a long-lasting and everlasting bias, referring to his kingdom, referring to his melucha. Ki milchamos Hashem Adoni nilcham, because you are fighting, my master, are fighting the battles of Hashem. V'ra'a lo simatzei v'cha miyamecha. And you've never done anything wrong. You've never done anything evil. So says, all the Mefarshim explain that she's still trying to convince him not to do anything to Naval. According to Rashi, she's saying, Hashem made you the king. So it's unbecoming of you to do such a thing. It's going to look bad. People will speak badly about you. How did she know he would be the king? She certainly seems to be implying that. So either through Nevuah, she was a Nevi'ah, right, as we mentioned. So either through Nevuah, she had this knowledge. Or maybe it was becoming common knowledge. You know, it was the word was out that David was anointed and was going to be the next king. She's asking Mechila, Sona Lefesha Amasecha. She's asking Mechila, says the Mitzudas David, because she's speaking in a way that's a little bit disrespectful to David, but she's trying to make a point. Your Melucha is going to last forever, by his Neman. unlike Schultz. Now, interesting. Says the Mitzudas David, fascinating here. Kil milchamos Hashem Adonin nilcham. You're fighting the battles of Hashem. Who are you fighting against? You're fighting against the Plishtim. That's what you're fighting against. You're fighting in the battles of Hashem. You're not fighting against Jews. You don't kill Jews like Shaul did. When did Shaul kill Jews? He wiped out the city of Nov. Nov Yerakalanim. Shaul kills Jews. You don't kill Jews. Nabal's a Jew, so you can't touch him. This is another argument she's making, that David shouldn't touch Nabal. Pasuk Chavtes, Vayakom Adam Lirdavcha. A man has got up to chase you. Who's this man? Shaul. Right? Why is she referring to him as Adam? Says the Radak, she's speaking about him disrespectfully because he has no future. And she's emphasizing the point. Shaul has no future. He's not going to be the Melech for all time. Only for a short, little more, you know, a short while longer. That's it. He's not going to be the Melech any longer. Interesting phrase, which you might be familiar with. And she says that the soul of my master should be tsrura, tsrura chayim, loosely translated as bound up in the binds of life. Now we'll see what that means. You're probably familiar with this because it's something that's used at funerals, at burials. Tsrura b'tsrura chayim, right? We say that phrase in the context of memorializing those who have passed away. Es Hashem Elokecha. And the soul of your enemy, your enemies, should be thrown around like in a slingshot. Kaf hakola is a slingshot, like in the pouch part, the leather part of the slingshot. Your enemies should be scattered, should be thrown about. It's interesting. The Radak, when he explains the words, the nefesh, v'haisa nefesh adonit tzrura b'tzrura chayim, he interprets it in a physical, literal sense, that you should always be alive, meaning none of your enemies should be able to kill you. So it's referring to physical life, chayim, which is unlike the way we use it. That's not how we use it. We don't use it in a physical sense. We use it for people who've already passed away. So the way we use it really follows the Targum Yonasan. Targum Yonasan understands this pasuk that your nefesh should be bound up in Olam Haba. And that's consistent with the way you use it. And it's based on the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Nun Beis says, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Nishmasam shel tzadikim genuzos tachas kisei akavod, that the souls of tzadikim are hidden beneath the kisei akavod, the heavenly throne, the divine throne. And the Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, V'haisa nefesh adonit tzrura b'tzrura chayim. So the Gemara understands this in a metaphysical way, in a spiritual sense, that the nefesh of tzadikim are bound up under the kisei akavod. That's where they're bound up for eternity. Obviously something very positive. V'shel rasha'im zomamos v'holchos. But the nefesh of rasha'im kind of dwindles, flickers out. The Gemara says, according to one text, Umalach Echad, Gemara says there's one angel that stands at one end of the world and another angel that stands at the other end of the world, and they play catch with the neshamos of the Rishayim. They throw around the neshamos of the Rishayim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ves nevesh oyvecha yikalena pesoch kafakola. It's like each angel is holding a slingshot and they kind of just, you know, yank it, boom. And the nefashos, the neshamos of the Rishayim, just kind of ping pong back and forth. That's their eternal doom, so to speak. So that Mitzudas David also explains it that way in a spiritual sense, and that's how we use it. That we say nishmasos should be tzura b'tzura chayim. Pasuk lamid, the two more pasukim. Pasuk lamid, v'haya ki yaseh Hashem la'adoni k'chol asher diber. That when Hashem does this to you, everything that he said to you, that he's going to make you the king, right? He's going to make you the king. Very interesting pasuk. this should not be a stumbling block. This should not be your downfall, your mistake, your blunder. To lishpach dam chinam, to spill innocent, clean blood. Lo shia adoni lo, and to save my master. Veheiti v'ashem laadoni v'zacharta es amasecha. And she asks that when Hashem does good for you, and when Hashem appoints you to this position as king, please remember me. It sounds almost like Yosef and the Sarah Mashkim, you know, when you're taken out of jail, power takes you out of jail, please remember me. That's what she's saying. You know, please remember me. Now, a couple of different interesting interpretations, and then we'll conclude with a fascinating Gemara here. Rashi says that he interprets this pasuk that Abigail is telling David, this will be your downfall. Because if you kill Naval, you'll never again be able to punish anyone else for murder. Because this is essentially murder. So you're killing someone. Now, anyone in your kingdom who kills someone, who murders someone, you're not going to be able to do anything about it. Because you murdered someone. So that's how Rashi interprets the pasuk. The Mitzudas David understands, interestingly, that she's trying to convince him that you shouldn't be all that insulted by what my husband did to you. Number one, you know, now you're on the run, you're a fugitive, you're not the king yet. So now you're insulted by what he says, right? His insults bother you, your reputation, right? If you kill him, you're not really concerned about your reputation right now because you're a fugitive on the run. But this is all going to reverse itself, says the Mitzudas David. Because as soon as you become king, number one, you're not going to care about what this lowlife says. You won't be insulted by him. And number two, you will care about your reputation. So right now, you're insulted by him and you don't care about your reputation. But you have to be careful because soon you're going to become king and then it'll be reversed. You will not be insulted by this lowlife and you will care about your reputation. So you got to be careful. Now she's stressing the fact that he's not king yet. So says the Mitzvah stuff, and that's why she had to ask Mechila. Because she was stressing the fact that he's not really king. You know, he's on a lower Madriga, so to speak. Now, fascinating Gemara. The Gemara here says that this is the Pasuk that proves that she's a Neviah. Why? Because the Gemara says, quotes a Pasuk a few Pasukim later, which we haven't done yet, but Baruch Tamech, which is Pasuk Lamed Gimel. The Gemara quotes Pasuk Lamed Gimel, and it says that the Gemara learns from that Pasuk that David was very taken by Abigail, by her physical beauty. Okay, and we'll see when we learn that Pasuk, we'll see exactly what it is. Actually, I can tell you now, it's fine. Pasuk over there says Mivo B'damim, and the Gemara says Damim implies two things. Implies two things. So one is that he didn't kill Naval, right? That's what she protected him from, not killing Naval. What's the other sin here? So the Gemara says, Melamed Shegilsa es Shoka, that she revealed herself. She revealed part of her body, her thigh. The Shoka is a thigh. And the Gemara says, V'holach la'ora shalosh parsaos. It like lit up, because she was so beautiful, it lit up three parsaos. This is obviously an exaggeration. Tosus points out it's an exaggeration. The Maharsha seems to take it a little bit more literally, but you know, if you understand this in a more allegorical sense, it means she was extremely beautiful. She was very, very beautiful, and David was very taken by Abigail's beauty. Amar la hashmili, to the point where he proposed himself to her. Right, he wanted to have a relationship with her. Amar lo, and she says to him, says the Gemara, Ar pasuk lo siyezos lecha lefuka. This should not be your downfall, right? You're gonna sleep with me now. This is gonna be your downfall. So she stopped him, and she said, "Don't do this now. This is not what you need." Now the Gemara says Zos implies that there was another time that David was attracted to a certain woman and almost spelled his downfall. And who was that? Bathsheba, right? And this obviously that didn't happen yet. And the Gemara says this is a proof that Abigail was a Neviah, because she was alluding to this future event with David and Bathsheba, and she was saying, listen, that's going to cause you problems in the future. Don't let this same Yetzer Hara cause you problems now. And she said, you know, leave it alone. Don't touch me. And you know, and let's not do this right now. Now, later, interesting, the Gemara says that when she took leave of him, she said, "Veheiti v'ashem la'aduni v'zacharta es amasecha." That's the end of the pasuk in pasuk lamed aleph, v'zacharta es amasecha. So, you know, I just interpreted that benignly. But the Gemara says, no, she meant, when you once become king, when you one day become king, remember me and marry me. Nabal's not going to be around anymore, right? I'll tell you that much. And she was saying, remember me, okay, and marry me. And in the end, we'll see that David does end up marrying Abigail. And the Gemara says that she was already at work here. She was already making plans. You know, she knew Nabal wasn't going to make it, and she knew that David was going to be the king. So she was already making plans. You know, she pretended like she wasn't doing anything, but she was already laying the seeds, you know, planting the seeds, laying the groundwork here and making plans to one day marry David, who's going to be the Melech Yisrael. Okay, so we'll stop here for tonight. This is the end of the exchange, at least Abigail's part of the exchange to David. Next week, Yemir Tzah Hashem, we'll finish the parak. It's a long parak. We'll finish the parak Yemir Tzah Hashem next week. How David responds to Abigail, and what happens with Nabal in the end. Thank you very much for joining.